Welcome back. You're listening to another Geek Whisperers, a podcast where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT and technologists. My name is John Mark Troyer.
And I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm Matthew Brender.
And today we're talking about conferences. We have just been to a lot of conferences all around the world, but we're back now. Hopefully, stay put for a couple of months. My own personal journey. I don't know about you two, Matt and Amy, but we have with us a special guest today, which is Jay Cuthrell. Jay is a senior technologist, a frequent conference goer, and today we're going to talk about the balkanization of tech conferences and the long tail of swag, which is... So, Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
You sound happy. hey, Jay, that was a crappy introduction. I don't know if you want to introduce yourself a little more fully. The idea for this podcast actually came from Jimmy Ray Purser, and we'll put the link over on our geek-whispers.com blog site, which is our vendor neutral trade show's dead. And he's talking about the old days of Comdex, when Comdex was the Emerald City of conferences everybody went to before it died. But now these days it seems like VMworld, Oracle Open World, you know, EMC World, Cisco Live, Citrix Synergy, et cetera, on down the line to startups. It seems like vendors are driving the conference world these days. Our media titans have fallen. So, Jay, we wanted to have somebody in here to bounce ideas off of and talk a little bit about conferences, social media. You know, are all these conferences, do we have too many conferences? Do people just spend all their time going to conferences? Which conferences should geeks focus on? What kind of experiences do they get at different conferences? I don't know. We can go anywhere. But that's a very long way of saying, hi, Jay, introduce yourself.
Hi, how are you doing? My name is Jay. Can we be friends? And thank you for the intro. And I work in the office of CTO. That's the day job. But at night, I actually do combat crime. And I wear a cape. And I have a little utility belt. And it's awesome. So if you're curious about me, I do have a blog, and that's probably the best way to learn about me. And that's to go to my blog, which is fudge.org, which is one of those old school things that's been around since the mid-90s. And I think the number of trade shows I've been to recently, I can tell you, I actually did do some of these ones that you're referring to. I went to an EMC forum. Before that, I did something that was a little more, I guess, inclusive. That was a Cloud Connect thing. But I'll be honest, I also did a VMUG before that. So I don't know if I'm helping. I'm not sure if I'm helping this. I'm probably contributing to the problem, right? But maybe we can get into the mix of, is it a problem?
Yeah, I want to not jump to conclusions that whether it's a problem or not, because without a doubt, events cost quite a bit of money, or they at least take a lot of time logistically, which in the end costs a lot of money because somebody has to do it. So we've drawn this parallel between the older days where there seemed to be some sort of independent body that was driving the necessity of these conferences versus now, particularly in our industry, where this seems to be dominated by the 800-pound gorillas in each of the different categories.
So, Amy, you are Jimmy Ray's colleague. Would you like to kind of sum up what was in his blog post? I think it was just a lot of just wistfulness for the old days, but I don't know. I think he had some points to make as well.
I thought it was so interesting because it really charts the evolution, and the balkanization, I think, is a great phrase that Jay kind of pitched at the beginning, where I think that conferences, Jimmy Ray's point, I think, was that we used to have more neutrality, and where people, he felt like geeks sort of went and learned from each other. The show floor was not just an attack of the t-shirts and the badge scans, but really a place where you could go and kind of I don't know, almost like it made me think of a pub where you could go and argue it out and have discussion and sort of have multiple vendors equally represented across a place, which sounds like a very, I haven't been to a lot of that type of conference. So it sounded very interesting to me of was this the way it was before? Is it not the way it is now? What are some of the contributing factors? And will we get back to that place? Because I feel like I'm seeing a trend of conferences. Everybody wants to grow their vendor conferences, at least. They want to grow them. That's one of the metrics to try to increase attendance year over year. But when do you get so top heavy that you explode and you have to splinter off and go back to smaller events where people actually have the opportunity to see each other, learn from each other, et cetera? What is too much? And from the perspective of people both running it, trying to get value at it as marketers, and for people attending it. So anyway, I thought since Jay has worn so many hats, he'd be an excellent person to sort of speak on those.
Jay, do you get a different as a technologist and as a business person and as a geek? Do you get different things out of a big conference and a small conference? How do you choose which conferences you go to?
So the biggest conference I go to, and I'll probably start there because you mentioned things that are big and useless. And this is not throwing this organization under the bus in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying it's getting kind of big. Since 2008, I've actually attended something called South by Southwest, specifically South by Southwest Interactive, which is the largest contained, party in Austin, Texas, where everyone that is part of the interwebs goes to show off what they can do, connect, network, peer, et cetera. And it's been going for far longer than I've been around, but it's quite massive, right? So we're talking upwards of 100,000 people show up for this thing. Well, what's interesting when you talked about getting too big to break off, what Amy was saying. In fact, South by Southwest has done that. I actually attended South by Southwest V2V in Las Vegas. And what that was kind of like a rescue pod jettisoning from the mothership in hopes that the survivors can create new humanity around the concepts of what South by Southwest was formed around, which was people sitting on a floor, having a dialogue, talking, sharing, breaking bread, and really, helping each other figure out how to make a dent in the universe.
That's interesting. You echo a lot of what we hear from people who go to user groups, right? There are some user groups that are small, and you have that sense of community. A lot of the VMware user groups have grown up where they have once a year a giant conference, and it's no longer that kind of sitting around trying to change the world.
John,
go ahead.
I've got a question for you. I mean, because you're kind of framing that there's potentially a problem here that we've shifted towards the vendor world, where I'm young and naive enough that I love going to every vendor show I possibly can. And because every time I get to meet people like you, I only know this group of people because I ran into you at VMworld and then continued on and continued to engage over Twitter. So for me, the idea of a vendor conference and the opportunity to attend is life changing for my career. And I don't know, what are we missing?
Okay, well, we're not missing anything, really. There's nothing really bad about the vendors being in charge of this, although they do skew the shows, right? When you had Comdex every year, it was like it was like the high holy days, and all the vendors would come, and the customers would come, and then after work, the vendors would all drink, and they'd all talk to each other. Exactly the same thing that happens at VMworld and EMC World and whatever. So same setup, same dynamic. You're competing in the booth during the day to talk to customers, but at night you're just all swapping stories, and you're also swapping jobs, right? It's a small industry, so that's not different. And VMworld is really the concept of VMworld was based on RSA, the RSA conference, which was a company conference that grew to represent the security industry. And I don't know how RSA got ahead of the media folks, but maybe it was just the sign of the times. So no, you're not missing anything. It's just that there's this trend in IT, I think, to be, it's kind of a feudal system where I'm a customer of Cisco, I am a customer of VMware, I don't really do much reading or skills development, except I get vendor certs, I go to the vendor meeting. I think there's something a little bit lost there, that a lot of it's instructional. Maybe our technology has gotten so complicated you have to go to Cisco Live if you want to be a functional CCIE. I don't know. Amy, what's your perspective on this? This certainly echoes with what we've said on this podcast the whole damn time, which is that social and events mutually reinforce each other.
I absolutely think that. And it's interesting if we think about just sizing as a matter of course. Say, what's the right size event? We often hear that social makes the really big events doable. Right. So having that social thread that connects you allows you to find Joe Schmo, who's, 300 yards away from you, but there's all these things between you and that 300 yards. So you wouldn't ever connect with him except for the power of social. And it also, to Matt's point, keeps you connected afterward. The small events, you're doing more in-person contact, but you might be making a lot of noise because you're sharing the knowledge, you're really excited, you're together. So that is kind of interesting to me, too, that size plays a factor. Vendor neutrality, I don't know. I've only had the opportunity to go to a few events that were purportedly vendor neutral, And I guess maybe I have my own cynicism about that true neutrality is ever possible. Those events have agendas too. I mean, most of these things are money-making ventures. Everybody participates. Yeah, yeah. Everyone participates for a reason. And as we're talking, I'm just sort of saying, again, full disclosure, it's funny the people we have on the call. So we've got EMC, Cisco, VMware. We are a VBlock, as I've joked. And Jay from VCE. VCE doesn't actually hold its own VCE world, for instance. We've got Cisco Live, EMC World, VMworld. But Jay is still terribly busy kind of attending all of these other vendor events in multiple capacities. So I don't know if this comes down to consumer choice. Like, you go to the size of event that you can either afford or that your company pays for or that you are regionally located or that simply you can tolerate if you're not somebody who enjoys big events in all seriousness. I don't know. It's interesting that you can choose your flavor.
Yeah. Jay, are you giving up on South by Southwest, the big one?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I bought a ticket already, and I've told folks I'm going to be there for 2015. And sometimes you get into this whole, like, am I going for the sake of going? And I don't want to – gosh, I sound like I'm so negative. There is an excitement moment. There's always one moment that makes me smile whenever I go to a South by. Sometimes it's coming back to the Hilton downtown Austin, and I've got a whole bag full of tacos, and I got up at like 5 in the morning to go get them, and there's some person that's clearly had a much better evening than I did. And you sit down, and you just give them the tacos, and they didn't ask for it. You just do it, and you kind of pay it forward. Sometimes you do it with donuts. You know, you just say, hey, man, here's some donuts. Those are the little things, right? Because someone did that for me back in 2008. You know, people that would normally not talk to you, they talk to you. And they just ask you, hey, who are you? What's up? And they don't have to. And it's probably someone you looked up to on the internet when you were just coming along. Well, I still think there's a place for that. I think that there's a way to find it. But as it gets bigger and bigger, you get so lost. And even if you know what you're doing, supposedly you use these geo-loco apps, these serendipity increasing apps, it's still a lot of noise, and there's no big squelch knob to figure out where the signal is sometimes. So I do think that the smaller ones, you know, have some benefit.
And I think one of the reasons I'm having trouble getting my hands around this conversation, Amy and Matt and Jay, is that I think we might be talking about two different things, because at some level, VMworld is a and Comdex especially was a shopping event. You went to meet your vendors. It was a trade show. VMworld is a combination trade show plus a learning experience. You go to sessions and go to trainings and labs. Whereas you were, like, for instance, the cloud world kind of grew up with these small cloud shows. In fact, you were just at I just saw on Twitter you were at Recon, which is from a vendor, Basho, that makes a database React, but it actually had, it wasn't a trade show. It was, they got, I think what they tried to do, although it was a vendor conference, they got the smartest people they could about, the goal there was not to sell a lot of stuff, but get the smartest people in the room that they could. Can you maybe talk about the feeling of some of those smaller conferences, early cloud days, or the one you were just at?
Yeah, so I'll give you some contrast compare. For specifics, the show that I went to, the Basho event, which is called Recon, there's actually an East and a West Coast. There's also, I think, a Europe version of it. I went to the West Coast version. There's like two tracks, and you get in, and I'll tell you, I mean, I was singing with delight inside, because there was an academic on stage. She was presenting kind of the comparison between what LVARs could mean, lattice designs and things like that, and how it could impact what we think of today as the way you would do or approach a modern distributed system. So it's some pretty heady stuff, a lot of academia, but there's some serious, potentially practical applications of this stuff. And it's just, you don't get that type of track content, frankly, from some of these larger conferences that I'm talking about. Or if they are there, it's very hard to surface it. And so I would say, in terms of overt pitch material, it was extremely low. After her talk, there was a Salesforce talk, but he didn't talk about Salesforce. He talked about how they're doing things at Salesforce or planning to do things at Salesforce. It was not about the company. It was about the approach. It was about paradigm shifts, and it was about things that, while certainly there's some academic elements to it, there were some practical applications that come out of it, and it could make for a big, big deal somewhere down the line. When I can say for a fact, like, no, you're not going to hang out in the hallway. You're going to want to be in this session, and here's why. I mean, that's huge.
I really respect that the idea of wanting to actually be sitting in the conference as opposed to just being around the people that are at the conference, it can be a very different feeling. That sense of not being pitched but being presented with big ideas, and I really think that there's an opportunity there, and that there's like a big asterisk I just want to put on that.
And you can actually see this if you're sitting around in the back. You can see people just, they'll get out of their seats and they'll walk out. And that's kind of the way it should be, right? If, you know, if you're not there to get pitched, you just get up and you walk out. So I also want to make sure that we're clear that you're not necessarily chained to your chair. I mean, you can certainly sit up and you can leave. And if I've learned anything from South By, that's exactly how the crowd votes. The crowd votes with their feet. They show up, and if it's not what they want to hear, you get up and you go find something you do want to hear, or you go out in the hallway and you go talk to people you want to hear talk.
It's the I'm thinking of the Showtime of the Apollo. You know, maybe we all need to be tougher crowds, vote more actively with our feet, and it would provide quicker feedback on the agendas.
Well, one of the laws of unconference, there's a whole discipline of unconference. I don't know if you guys have been to them. I've been to one or two. It is explicitly the law of 2 feet, which says exactly that, Jay, which is like, if you don't like what you're hearing, get up and go to a different session. So.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
The other thing I'm wrestling with as I listen to you talk, I'm getting this whole new perspective on events, and I've only been doing the tech conference event thing for a few years now compared to everybody else, but I just sort of jotted down in the notes, you know, TED Talks versus real estate sales. And I think that we get frustrated. We're okay with going to a vendor pitch, like when you go to the show floor. People have an expectation that you're going to get pitched pretty hardcore. But it's interesting that for the vendor events, often they do have, you know, the show floor, which is meant to be kind of a mall of ideas, if you will. Versus the conference, which is meant, I think, in a lot of ways to be more pure. And people, when you try to do too much, or maybe it's departments sort of guiding some of the efforts and what's the projected outcomes and what we're measured against, when you blend those two, you know, the idea that those are separate things means that you should be able to keep some purity and accomplish both things in one venue, because you're already spending the money, so why not do more things? But it is, this conversation is sort of guiding me to wondering if the value is back to these smaller events where the agenda and the mission is clearer. And if you cross that line, and I've certainly been to those as well that are pitching themselves as somewhat neutral, but people, and Jay, I think you're spot on. There's something about a snowball effect. Once one person starts pitching, it just kind of creates this downhill slide if you're not really careful.
Vote with your feet. I mean, if there's anything I'm going to take out of this conversation is that if you set that as an explicit thing that people can do, they're more likely to do it, because that's generally seen as extremely rude in parts of our culture. Bless your heart, Amy. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. So the idea of people getting up and walking out in mass, that would be shocking. But if that's kind of the expectation,
if you have a boring talk, people do. I've seen lots of boring talks where people start to file out if they go on long enough.
Wow.
So if I put on my marketing hat for a minute, you know, maybe this is good. Maybe this is kind of like social media. So Jay, sometimes on this, we've talked about high versus low social media, and, you know, kind of corporate versus one-on-one, and, you know, listening to the broad audience versus one-on-one interactions. And, you know, I know that for my company, we've got, you know, 10 trade shows we go to for a year, and maybe 10 others that we support, you know, partially, and then our big ones that we put on. But they're trade shows, right? They're like, it's all about lead gen. It's all about, you know, the booth. It's all about, you know, we'll go to Interop and we'll buy a keynote slot and blah, 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 blah. But maybe social, and then Amy works a lot of the shows, right? That's what she does. A lot of her program is she goes to these shows and creates video assets and meets up with people. But I don't know. Maybe guys, we need to do refocus on. I mean, the challenge is always you can only spread yourself so thin. But maybe our time is better spent at some of these smaller shows that corporate can't cover.
Huh? And I'm not coming to that conclusion. What I'm mentally coming to is that our trade shows are paralleling a lot of the change that happened between, say, PR and social media. PR used to be about controlling a message and you sitting down and listening to that. And social media is now more of a dialogue, and it's also exceptionally transparent as an expectation. And I'm feeling like we're getting to a point where we're saying that events today are following that same way, where it used to be this thing where you get whatever the vendor pays for and you like it, even though you're paying to attend. when now we're like, just be really clear about what I'm going to get out of this session. If it's going to be a vendor pitch, just say it, and I'll either show up if I want to or I won't. But don't tell me it's something that it isn't. And that transparency, I mean, that feeds back into the cycle of everything we like to talk about.
But that's hard, man. Matt, you, at EMC World, there's like 20 keynotes. That's kind of the style they do. They all call them all keynotes or general sessions. And they're all VPs talking. And how do I know whether that VP is going to get up and tell me something interesting or is just going to tell me how his shit shines? Just excuse my French.
As long as that shit replicates, we're okay.
No, you have a fair point. I was thinking more when you're going to breakout sessions, when...
VMworld, same way. I didn't mean to pick on EMC World, but we do the same thing.
No problem. It's a good example. I mean, 20,000 people is a lot of people to get in one place, and both of the shows do that. So it must be doing something right in a lot of ways.
I'm actually going to...
Training. It's a lot of training.
So one of the things that I've noticed trending in events is, because I do attend a lot of them, is more and more the availability of sessions online and afterward means that people are using the opportunity to come in person and use it as a networking event. And at that point, scale can be useful because it brings in a lot of the rock stars, a lot of the experts. And I've heard people say a couple of interesting things there, that the sessions they'll go to are panels where the content is different than just having somebody kind of present a PowerPoint, because you might be able to ask a question. So the idea that you might be able to participate will drive somebody to stop the networking, kind of leave the hallway, go into the session, versus something they can get online later. They're going to go and listen to it online later, where they, you know, vote with their tweet instead of their feet, perhaps. The other trend I saw is that because we do multiple events often people are repeating some of the same content. If they have the opportunity, and let's use VMworld as an example here, if they have the opportunity to go to both, the United States one, which tends to be a little bigger and it pulls a global audience, versus the European one, which I went to recently in Barcelona, then you're getting some of the same content. People who have the good fortune of going to both, I heard say, or even not going to the US one, but going to Barcelona, would use the recordings from the US one and listen to them and then go into Barcelona with a question, which I thought was kind of interesting too. So it's as if no matter what we as marketeers or event planners do, people find a way to get the knowledge they need and find a way to get what they need out of the conference. And it's such a symbiotic relationship. I've been sort of interested to see how it evolves.
I have a theory, which I will reveal at the end of this podcast. But before that,
Jay made a great point about something. Some of these are pay to play, and some of them are the unconferences are financially they're free. And I think we haven't hit on the fact that attendance to these is really budget based in a lot of ways.
That's a definite point. Of it actually is easier in most circumstances to make a case. You know, it's fascinating to me. All the big tech events have pitch letters that are meant for you to just sign your name to and send to your boss, that are rationale for coming to the site. And the smaller hippie conferences, like I've tried to attend South by Southwest more than once, and it's harder for me to make a case for it. Even though, to Jay's point, you know, I've got some things I could point to. There are some reasons or people I can meet. It's a harder sell than if it's a known brand.
And these things are tribal too. So Jay, there is a tribe of people that go to these mainstream conferences, and they're all about, you know, you're in a business that pushes, you know, a billion dollars worth of stuff. But these early cloud conferences that I never went to, but saw the results of, and I still see the people that attend them, they're so, it's almost like a different tribe, right? They're so looking forward to this future where everything's in the cloud. But yeah, for those of us that deal with today, we realize that, you know, people are still running NT on a box in the closet.
In prep for this, I was actually asked by my marketing team this morning, like, hey, what are the things that we should put on our radar? And I purposely came up with a list of things that have absolutely nothing to do with any of our investors, have nothing to do with the company that I work for. And I'm actually really curious to see what comes back. I know that we have to be cognizant of each time is, are we in an echo chamber, right? Because you kind of nailed it when you said, like, I can kind of see these same people each time at these cloud events. You know, you can call them luminaries or lunatics, depending on what your point of view is, because it is extremely self-reinforcing biases that they're sharing up on stage in many cases. And I don't know if it necessarily moves the conversation forward.
Well, so with your marketer hat as an infrastructure provider, do you think, you know, obviously there's logistics involved. Sure, it only costs $2,000 to sponsor the lunch, but you've got to get people there and things like that, as opposed to, you know, $200,000 to build the booth. But it's, you know, we know how that works, and that's what we're comfortable with in a corporate environment.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you will get some halo effect from sponsoring some of these little thought leadership conferences, or do you feel like the value is going to be actually sending some people there to meet and greet?
I'd honestly rather have a customer tell a story than have me tell a story. I think that goes a lot further, right? As much as I would love to say I'm the guy on stage giving the talk and doing the thing and being able to throw in a funny slide or two here and there, honestly, at the end of the day, I just don't know if people care, right? I think what people that are in the audience that want to hear when they're in the seat of trying to figure this stuff out, they want to hear someone else that's literally inside their skin, living the same pain or the same dream, depending on which point of view is, and they get to hear it, and it's not muffled or shaped or twisted by potentially, you know, the logo that's over the door before you walk in.
Well, my two cents, and again, because I have attended conferences large and small, and it's interesting. I don't know always how I determine which ones I'm going to go to versus which ones I'm not. So it's been very interesting to listen to everybody else and sort of what their map is. And admittedly, I work for a vendor. I have financial backing to be able to go to some that's different from being an attendee. Each one has its own independent value. And I actually think there is enough of a marketplace to have many different kinds. And I get great content and great access at different ones for different reasons. So I don't know. But at the same time, my marketeer hat says, oh my gosh, like the spend and the lift to do this, it's a full-time job for a lot of people. And it is, do we actually want there to be more consolidation and more balkanization at the same time? But that kind of squeezes out the middle conferences, right? So everything would then be really big or really niche. I don't know that I have an answer, because I can only go to so many as well. I mean, and I can only imagine. My joke has been that sometimes I think there are so many conferences, there aren't enough customers to attend all of them. You know, how do you actually get people there in the end? And is it an echo chamber? I don't know. I normally have a strong opinion one way or the other. I don't. It's sort of a golden gut for me of which one. There are things that I have to go to for particular reasons, and then there are ones that I pitch to go to because I think they need a little love, you know? So by going, we can amplify them a little more. We can raise some of the content that's there. We can make heroes of some of the attendees by committing them to permanent content pieces and then sharing that out later. So I've done both. And in some of it is the FedEx approach, as Jay said. How much can I accomplish? How many things can I accomplish in any one event?
Yeah. At first, I was raising my hand, say, 4 years ago and saying, let me go to any of them and I'll do everything I can to make it worth your while to my upper management. And then at some point, actually just in this last year, now I go to all of them. And I've realized that either end of the spectrum is a little bit too much when it comes to trade shows. So the simple rules I have is I go to the ones I'm paid to attend that will have a lot of people to connect to that are in our community. And then I go to other events that inspire me. That's the only other rule that I've come down to and said, okay, if it's not going to inspire me, then I should take it off my calendar. So focusing on a TEDx that's coming to the Boston area soon. That's the only thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, that just makes me really excited. And I've skipped on some OpenStack meetups that I wanted to attend. I didn't have time, and I wasn't ready to be inspired by the OpenStack story, so I just turned it down and didn't go. So just trying to find some sort of balance in the system here. But when it comes down to how vendors do things, I think there's definitely room for evolution here. I think revolution is going to result in losing a lot of faith in the quality of the shows that we're paying for. And as someone who's seen a show where the price tag was high and the quality was pathetic, I'm glad that vendors are running the show for the most part, because they have accountability because of that.
That's true. That's true. Everybody should be careful about some of the littler shows. And I don't say that because I run a big show, but you know, we've all been to crappy shows. They pay for themselves, right? They're a big scam, right? The speakers work for free. The sponsors just pay for the event and all the profit. And then they take your name if you're an attendee, and the list price is $2,000, but they give it to you free if you're connected, and then they sell your name, and you're on a spam list forever, and that's the way they make their money.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to watch out for that.
Those conferences suck.
I'm a bit more pleased with the vendor ownership, because ownership means accountability, and I really like to be able to hold people accountable for whether something is great or failing, because that generally turns into change for the positive if I didn't like the experience.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's my theory. I think we are in a golden age of events, and I think those events are a golden age of bottom-up, passion-led events, and I think it's wonderful because just like – and I think social has had a lot to do with that. Just we used to have Comdex. Everybody had to go to it. It was media-led events. There were just a few of them. But I think now social media and self-organizing and the internet and all that sort of good apple pie stuff has led us to a place where we can organize more events. Plane flights, although very uncomfortable, are far cheaper than they were 30 years ago, relatively speaking. And that lets people – it's much easier to connect with people from all over the world. And I think that's led to an abundance of events. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Kickstarter was actually started – by somebody who wanted to have an event, but he wasn't sure if he could sell all the tickets. So he started, you know, he founded Kickstarter to see if he could sell tickets for this event. And we're seeing more and more events that are unconferences or little community conferences or conferences like XOXO, which is 200 or 300 people in Portland who are digital creators and artists who got together for the second year this time to have just a very small, intimate, one track, everybody in the same room. Let's not have the hallway be the most important part of the conference, most interesting part of the conference. Let's make sure it's in the room by keeping it small and intimate. So, and I think we're seeing, and I see a number of these conferences starting up. I'm trying to figure out, I have a conference center a couple blocks away from me on the water here in Half Moon Bay or California. And, you know, it can fit like 120 people into it. I'm trying to figure out how can I have a cool conference with 120 people locally here, because I think I could pull it off. I think the beauty of it is that from a corporate side, you know, corporate can only cover 10, 20 trade shows a year, and they're all focused on lead gen. I think just like social, the banner for social, you know, corporate leads, but all these employees go out and fertilize under their own names. I think the same thing, cool things can happen in events, which is that, you know, corporate runs its big events, but we can all go to cool events, and you have thousands of employees at a big company. They can all go do cool things. And I think it's much more democratic and bottoms up.
I think anytime you can have an unscripted voice come out, I think people appreciate it. Right. And that's not to say that all my presentations are completely scripted, but clearly, you know, when you're up there and you're speaking for a company, it's going to come off a certain way, and you can throw in some fun stuff and you can keep it light. But at the end of the day, you're going to cover some topics. You're going to cover some points. You're going to hopefully educate the audience. But I think when you do these unscripted off the cuff things, people get and this is probably going back to the original part of this, whether it's a corporate or a personal brand, which I think is one of the core things that have come out of listening to you guys in the past. It may not be that the marketing team appreciates that I'm allowed to be a human being sometimes, because they're measured by, you know, effectiveness in the ever growing numbers. You know, have we communicated our message? Have we gotten our message out to the masses? So I just think that there's a time and a place for unscripted, and there's a time and a place for, you know, pitch world, if you will.
And one wrap up sort of based on all these other wrap ups is I'm noticing a real trend in the kind of sub-conference, the subcultures. And I think everything is cyclical for me. So we have the big events, and to make them manageable, people create niche groups. So there are a million V XYZ events at VMworld, for instance. People create communities of interest to bond with each other. So in the end, people connect. And of course, Jay, I'm obviously a big fan of the unconventional guerrilla marketing style and going off message a little bit and having people be themselves.
That's good. That's good. I think that both of you guys were very profound, and Jay is also funny on chat.
We should publish the chat unedited.
But I think we're out of time here. So, Jay Kutharal, I really appreciate you joining us today. People can check you out on fudge.org or on the Twitters. We brought you in as a road warrior and frequent conference goer. I think we've hit on some profound stuff. I think I almost have to digest it and do another podcast before I come to any conclusions. Thanks once again to everybody. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Matthew.
And we'll see y'all next week. This has been the Geek Whisperers.
You've been listening to the Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as Jay Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.
So again, evolution even I've seen in the last year, and of course there's a helicopter going over my house right now. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
Oh, yeah. We might have NSA. It's the NSA. They couldn't get your packets. They're coming for them in person.
Now that is service with a smile.